Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio. Available anywhere, anytime, on the internet, in your browser at WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial. Yeah, the dial or the knobs, the buttons, whatever. You can preset it to 102.9 and it's always ready for you. Here virtually for a book talk with a new author, Allie Rayom. Allie, good morning.
Good morning. I'm so excited to be here.
Excellent. And you got the book and it's nicely positioned. This is cool.
Buddy the Brain.
Excellent. And from what I understand, the Buddy the Brain is available in multiple formats. So I'll let you explain all those details.
It is, yes. It was really important to me when I created this book as someone who's very passionate about accessibility, is to find a way that everyone could be included without having to ask for the added formats. So it is available in hardcover and paperback per usual. It also is available in an ebook, which has alt text embedded into the ebook in case a screen reader is needed.
Ah.
It's available in an audiobook. Shout out to
Ooh.
Steve Sherlock for helping me record and edit and produce the audiobook.
I might have heard the story a couple of times.
Yeah, right? All that editing.
I haven't got it memorized yet, but I know the general drift.
It was what's cool about the audiobook is that we did a regular reading of all the text, and then we did a second recording within the same audiobook that also then includes the text and character description. So if someone's low vision or blind, they can auditorily hear the character descriptions. And then the book is also available in an ASL video, which is free online on my YouTube channel. And lastly, it is also currently available in Braille. So those are all the formats.
Wow. That is cool. I don't think I've heard of a book as accessible. Usually, yeah, audio, multiple print formats, large print, small print, paperback, hardcover. But yeah, I think you kind of like kicked that notch up a little bit.
Again, that was my goal. And you said large print too. I actually created this entire book to be large print, so nobody would need to request a large print version.
Okay.
It automatically is large print.
It defaults that way.
It's purposely by default. Yeah.
Purposely by default. Yes.
That was the goal. So again, I just, as someone who navigates disability myself, I know how exhausting it can be to have to constantly ask, can I have large print? Can I have the audio? Can
mm-hmm.
I, all these different things. And I didn't want people to have to ask. I wanted it to already be available for them.
And you artistically crafted all the images by hand yourself, because that's one of the things you do, right? You're an artist.
I am an artist. That's what took me the longest with not only writing this book, but also illustrating it, was the illustrations, was developing a character of the brain, and then what I wanted the characters who are people to look like.
Mm-hmm.
I have a huge, diverse population of human characters in the
mm-hmm.
book, but you know, I wanted, you know, when you develop a character, their eyes are a certain way, their smiles, their faces, they're all like, so a certain way, depending, and then the skin color's different, hair color's different,
right.
hairstyle.
Right.
So it's very diverse population of characters. Some with disability, some without. And the illustrations were really fun to create. And my goal was to create them in a way that was not overstimulating. Because a lot of children's books, people think, ooh, we need to capture the kids' attention by having literally stuff everywhere, all over
right,
the pages,
right.
super, super visual. And as a brain injury survivor myself and being among the disability community who often says like, wow, that's overstimulating.
Mm-hmm.
This is hard to focus on X, Y, and Z. I wanted to keep the illustrations very simple. So your brain's not having to process 50 different images on a page. It's one image here, one image there, nice
mm-hmm.
and simple.
Yeah, so somebody did an eye tracking study on a Where's Waldo piece.
Oh, gosh.
The eyes would be going all over the place on yours. They're in one spot. There's a hot
mm-hmm.
spot. That's all they're going.
And it helps the kids focus. A lot of times people think, oh, well, you know, a student with ADHD, for example, may love all of the things to look at.
Mm-hmm.
No. Actually, it's makes it more difficult because your attention's going all over the place. When you have
sure.
one singular focus, you're still studying that one focus. Like, for example, list the cover, right? Your brain is still processing the shape of the eyes, where it's looking, the hands waving, this hands down, the shape of his mouth. And trust me, when I read this to kids, they're like, "Oh, that mouth is doing this." Like you're still absorbing everything,
Sure.
but it's just not so overstimulating your brain's like in overdrive.
Right. Yeah. And I think you've got an interesting story as to how did this book come about? I mean, as a brain injury survivor yourself, you've got a challenging journey and you're still on the journey, but that in itself gave you the opportunity to say, I think I need to do a book.
Yes. And March is Brain Injury Awareness Month, which is why I released it just before March on purpose. But
Bingo, bingo.
yes, I have sustained a brain injury 10 years ago. I was accidentally struck in the face by a steel commercial door, which caused a mild traumatic brain injury in the form of a concussion. And at the time, I was an elementary school physical education teacher. So that's my background is education. And I love elementary. The kid, they are
Yeah,
adorable.
that's your sweet spot.
It's
And
just
I know
who I
that.
am.
I was secondary ed, so I'm close, but my wife was kindergarten, so that even within the elementary, so I know that. Those kids at that age, they're just, you're precious.
And they're sponges and they're just wonderful. But unfortunately, I had to take off the whole rest of that school year, take the summer to keep getting better and healing from that head injury. And then I was attempting to go back to work as an educator in the fall of 2026. No, 2016. It's been 10 years, Allie.
10 years.
2016. And I sustained a second head injury from standing up too quickly under a shelf. So another
Uh-oh.
TBI. And mixed with the medication reaction and other medical conditions that were unknown at the time. And I ended up in the hospital at a 10% functioning level. I could not walk, talk, eat, do anything myself. I couldn't read. I could barely write. So I couldn't even pick a one color crayon out of a box of six because my brain just couldn't process how to do that. So very low functioning. And what's interesting is in my journey over the past 10 years of healing from this brain injury, in those 10 years, I've had a niece and two nephews born. And so my niece, who's currently eight, and then my nephews, who are currently six and four,
Right.
they've grown up with me healing from a brain injury. So
Right.
while I'm learning how to walk, so are they. And while
Yes.
I'm learning how to read, so are they. And so at times it would actually get kind of confusing for them, like, whoa, wait. You're the adult in the room. You're supposed to be able to read to me.
Help me
Or
understand what's going on here.
exactly. And so I notice, I'm like, wow, this is hard to explain because the
Right.
brain is, quote, invisible, especially to kids. They don't know it's in your head and what it's
No.
doing. And so in my own journey of trying to explain the brain, what it does, how to keep it safe, why it's important to keep it safe, what a brain injury is, how someone may act if they sustain a brain injury. In my journey of explaining that to the kids, I realized that that education is very, very needed in a simplistic, easy to digest, engaging way for elementary level students, particularly around kindergarten, first grade sort of age.
Sure.
So that's where Buddy the Brain came from, was my own lived experience in trying to explain it to the kids, as well as my education background and putting it all together.
A happy coincidence of things coming together, the stars aligned, and Buddy the Brain is now available
Yes.
in
Yes.
multiple formats, as we said. So, yeah, the show notes will include the link to the main landing page, if you will, in which you can certainly order the book in the different versions or follow the links to the various other accessible, free pieces.
Yeah, it's been really fun, and I've been going to schools to read the book to the kids too. And it's honestly, I love being back in the classrooms or wherever I'm going and being with the kids because, again, like I said, I'm a teacher. It's just my
Right.
nature. And when I created the book, I made sure to create it in a way that was engaging because, as we know, kindergarten, first grade, elementary, getting them to just listen for something half an hour is, you got to engage them.
Right.
So, like when I created the book, I purposely started the book with engagement right away. And so the kids get questions like, can you wiggle your body? Right. And they all get to sit there and wiggle. And I'm purposely helping them get the jitters out. Hey, let's sit and read a book, but let's move too. And so throughout the whole book, it's like that. It's engaging where it's teaching them a lesson like, oh, your brain helps your body move. It tells it what to do and how to make the choices. And we get to explain while they're also getting to be part of the book too.
And I think that certainly, while it's targeted at that age, any adult reading the book to the youth are going to get some awareness as well, because truly, when you stop and think about it, we just take a lot of things. The normal non-brain injury folks take an awful lot of things, for granted. How to walk, how to pick up something. Whereas you relearning how to read, relearning how to walk, you have to stop and think, and the brain has to do its, rewire the neurons and all the nerves from whatever body part you're trying to move. If we ever stop to try to think how to pick up our foot and move, it's not in seconds. It may take minutes, if not hours.
Right. And those are the things that as humans, naturally, I don't want to say take advantage of because we're not intending to do that, but it's all just happens automatically. So we don't think about it. It's a way that actually it's one less thing we have to think about because the brain automatically does it. But it goes to show that when the brain is injured, wow, the brain really does work hard every single day. And that's why it's so important to keep it safe, care about brain health, to be exercising, to be eating healthy, wearing a helmet. It drives me crazy when I see adults that aren't wearing helmets. Like, no one is exempt from a brain
Bicycles,
injury.
motorbikes, whatever.
So,
It's like the accident can happen. And yes, it's an accident, but why risk it? Hopefully, it'll be food for thought. And
And it is
maybe.
that's the goal with this is that it's starting the conversation. And like you said, not only with the kids, but also the families. And that's what I've been hearing in feedback that I've been getting from people is, wow, the kids keep talking about it. They keep talking about Buddy the Brain. And so I'm actually learning too. It's helping me to dig into the subject and think twice about, oh, wow, yeah, I should be wearing my helmet too when I'm riding the bike with the kids. Or maybe we should be cutting down on the sugar and eating a few more blueberries.
And I understand you're doing, we won't mention specific dates, but they can go to your page to find out. So you are making visits to either schools or the libraries, other public places, kind of the normal book author tour, if you will. You're having some fun doing that, I assume.
Oh, I'm having a fantastic time, right? Whether it's a conference, a library, a classroom, something in between. I love doing that part of it. So, yes, I take requests, and when I do have something scheduled that is public that people can attend,
True.
I put it on my website.
Definitely. Good. So, Buddy the Brain, and do you have a vision for a part two or a continuation?
I do plan to write a couple more books in general. I do want to create another Buddy the Brain book, at least one more. I'm sure I will come up with even more.
We'll help you continue the journey. Yes.
Thank you.
So, while we've covered the book, and we'll get back to the book, and we've covered kind of your origination story for that. Is there anything else that you really want to let the listeners know at this point?
Well, with the book again, accessibility is extremely important to me. So we talked a little bit about the different formats I created the book in and how it's already large print, but there's a few other things I did with the book to really help those, especially those who have sustained a brain injury, to be able to read it. Because I myself have been very embarrassed when my niece and nephews go, "Can you read this kid's book to me?" And I look at, I'm like, "Let me see." And I open it and I'm like, "Oh, I can't read that to you." And I don't like to use the word can't, but in these situations, I know I'm unable to read this to you. And so a few more things that I did very mindfully for the book, because I wanted adults who have sustained brain injury for it to be easier for them to read the book. One is the font that was chosen. So a lot of kids' book have these like crazy fonts. that are all these weird letters. I actually created my own font from my own handwriting, so it still looked kid friendly, but it's accessible. So it's all capital and lowercase. It's not all caps because that's harder to read if it's all caps. I made sure when I was creating my own handwritten font that all the lowercase letters were properly aligned at the top and the bottom, so your eyes weren't having to go like this when they're reading. A lot of intentionality behind the font. I also, again, I created it large print, as we already talked about. And then the font, the text is never on top of an image, because that's the other thing that happens a lot with kids'
It's
books,
one
is
of
the
your other
text is on top
principles.
of the illustrations,
Sure.
which makes it harder to read. So
Yep.
in every single, the cover, even the cover, which do I want my cover to not have to have, white boxes there because it's very different than the norm? I mean, cool. It would be cool to have the text just on the blue background, but the blue background has a little design to it. I was very important to me that all text is on the solid white boxes, well contrasted black text to white box, and it's never on top of an image. So all of that makes it a lot easier to read.
Yes. Yeah, that those aspects of accessibility, having learned from you through my exposure to you over the last couple of years, those are critical pieces. So, yeah, thanks to that piece of education, I've been changing what I produce from the news perspective to make it that hope. I'm certainly not perfect yet, but hopefully more accessible to everybody that's trying to read and follow along what's happening here in Franklin.
And that's amazing, Steve. I mean, even though I'm an accessibility specialist myself, that's part of my job. Like, I own a business doing that. I still learn myself too. I think we all learn, because the more those who navigate disability speak out about what they struggle with, the challenges they face, the barriers they face, the more all the rest of us in society can learn from them. Because I always say there's the legal minimum standards, and
True.
a lot of times that's what people are like, oh, I'm good, this is accessible because I meet the minimum ADA standards or Section 508 or where whatever someone's job is, there's different standards they have to meet. And I look at them and say, that's cool, that is fantastic, that's better than nothing, but it's not ultimate accessibility. So ultimate accessibility is really thinking a lot deeper. And all of that takes time. I did not learn overnight. I still make mistakes. I'm still learning. But there's really simple things that can be done to all sorts of media, like you were saying, in order to help with that accessibility. Like left aligning font. The average person, when creating this book cover, would have centered this text under this one because it's shorter than this one. So it makes sense to like move it over, center it. But then that makes the eyes have to, your eyes are here, they're going across. And then instead of knowing that you're going right back to the beginning where this W is, your eyes are like, wait, where's the next line? And it has to go like down. I mean, mine's aligned. So, rather than it being over here and your eyes having to go from here to here and then from here to here. So left aligning text, it's so simple, but it takes learning. And so it takes time.
Definitely. Well, thank you for taking time to explain a little bit about the book. And oh, by the way, Buddy the Brain, yes, it's a good thing to get, maybe even multiple copies of. It'll be good for gifts.
Yes.
And if you know of some place that would be appropriate for Allie, and it's certainly within her traveling arena, she'd love to talk.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, Steve. I appreciate the time to talk about it and to highlight it and encourage those who could benefit from having the book. I say, honestly, anyone could benefit from the book because no one's exempt from brain injury either. So why wait until, maybe a grandparent sustains a stroke or a friend sustains a concussion? Like, why wait? Why not educate now? So, yeah.
Yeah, agreed. And brain injury certainly is one of those mostly invisible ones because unless you really know, you don't. And yet you can make some accommodations just, and then it becomes kind of, good citizenship, good neighborliness, good protocol, and, treating somebody with, respect from the beginning and being helpful and all those other kinds of good things. So thank you.
I agree with you. I I think that's fantastic, like you said, for everyone to be aware and learn. And when it comes to disability in general, education is key and listening is key. And so then when you are surrounded with people, you are better equipped yourself and actually feel more comfortable yourself too, engaging because of knowing that information. So thank you, Steve. And thank you for being someone that's such a wonderful ally within the disability community. It's really appreciated.
Well, thank you. This is part of what we do, and one of the key lines in the cable charter is to amplify the public good, and that's effectively what you're doing. So we need to amplify it.
And you do that.
We'll bring in the band. Hey! Except we won't be
Oh.
too loud because that would be a problem, right?
We would need a sensory hour during that event.
Definitely. Well, thank you again for taking time to share about the book. I hope the sales continue to go and maybe through the roof eventually. You never know.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Steve.
And to the listeners, thank you for listening. Show notes will have the link to Buddy the Brain, and I believe you could probably just Google Buddy the Brain. It'll go right to the page where the landing page, you can get it all on Allie's page. And quick reminder as well, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.